Welcome, everyone, to a very special session of Alpha Flight 201 New Heights. We are brought to you by the Uncanny Experience. And this is us remixing some of our previous conversations and adding some new stuff in there. So I'm very excited to have three fantastic panelists join us. First of all, we have Madison Jeffries. Madison, did you maybe construct your car to get here or a jet? How did you get here today?
I mean, Danger gave me a ride. She's watching our baby at home. I thought it would be a nice opportunity to think outside the box.
Fair. And very, very fitting for you to throw out dad jokes right now. North Star, what are you up to? I mean, are you celebrating any holidays in December or are you just doing your normal shit?
Just doing the beautiful life of a wealthy gay Olympian.
Fair enough, fair enough. Aurora, so nice of you to be here with us and not cloistered somewhere or scared of a reflection. How are you doing today?
I feel great. I feel refreshed. Akihiro is back as some kind of like hell demon. So like, what's new?
Ew, haven't we all been there and done that?
I mean, yes.
Yes. I do want to thank everyone attending for donating to Outfront Minnesota. Outfront Minnesota is a very important organization for LGBT advocacy here in the state of Minnesota, the home state of the Uncanny Experience. And they have been around for decades. They're providing crucial services to those in need. They also advocate with our state's government and were essential in passing legalized gay marriage here in Minnesota more than a decade ago. So they do really great work. Thank you, everyone, for donating. It's very much appreciated, especially during this time. A lot of nonprofits are needing money before the year end, and you all helped meet their goals. So we are going to go through here a little bit about each of these fine guests that I have here. And then there are some questions I have prepared. So panelists, I hope you're ready for everything that I'm going to throw at you. Please be as honest as possible, North Star. And we're going to have a great time. First, Madison Jeffries. So Madison is a former member of Gamma Flight. And, you know, I have done a little magic here. I have brought you all from what we consider the 1990s, but to you, it's the current time. So, you know, your lives have progressed, but I can't tell you what happened after about 1994. I'm sorry. It ruined the time stream. We can't do it. It's timey-wimey stuff. So, Madison, you were a member of Gamma Flight. Then you left Department H when, you know, Gamma Flight ceased to exist. But prior to that, you and your brother Lionel, he would become known as Scramble, which is certainly a choice of a name, served in the U.S. Army in Vietnam. And you have some powers over materials that was present even then. We're not sure when they manifested for you. And maybe you can help clarify that for us later on. But you had to use them to restrain Lionel from performing medical experiments on the dead and wounded in the field over in Vietnam. You can manipulate inanimate objects. Lionel can manipulate flesh and organic matter. So let's go over some key moments. When you were in Gamma Flight, you were romantically connected with Diamond Lil, who what a foxy lady she is. You were requested by Roger Box to help repair the box suit that Roger originally made. And then you joined the main team and you helped salvage components from Delphi and Courtney into a new suit for Heather Hudson, who would become your love interest. So, you know, you kind of tossed Diamond Lil to the side. Then all of a sudden, there's Heather. At the same time, Lionel was released from his institution and he had the New Life Clinic. We thought he was doing great until he wasn't. And then he became sort of an amalgamation with Roger Box. They called themselves Omega. It's real gross looking. And then you killed your brother and Roger Box in the process. So that sounds a little rough. Then you got engaged to Heather. Congratulations. But then you cheated on her with Lil, going back to that well. But you married Lil, and you retired from action. But the lure of being a hero was really sort of irresistible to you, and you developed an addiction to the box life and the utilization of your powers. So, first of all, as I'm sort of chatting with everyone, if people want to put specific questions in the Q&A for the guests, I will try to get to them after some of my prepared questions. So feel free to use that Q&A function. So Madison, I have some questions. Are you ready for them?
I am so ready.
I'm prepared like Johnny Carson. I have my cards. So let's throw it all the way back. So you're out of Gamma Flight. You hear from Roger Box and he promises you $1,000 to show up at his house. What did you think that money was for?
You know, Roger Box is a brilliant, brilliant inventor. So it was actually really easy for me to recognize that he was actually looking for a real consultation. I didn't know him at the time, but I knew his name. I was prepared to help. He's a real solid guy. We don't need to talk about how Aurora treated him before he died. I'll just say that much. Yes, I killed him, but that was an act of mercy. There were people in danger. You have to make rough calls in the field sometimes, folks.
I love being judged by a cheater. Cool.
Oof. We're going to move past that because we actually do have some questions pertaining to Roger Box for Aurora.
Oh, good.
My second question for you, Madison. So what was better, being a giant robot or being a spaceship?
You know, being a spaceship was pretty great. There's something about, you know, if you have a mutant power, it's hard to explain. Like if you can fly, it's hard to explain to people who can't fly. When you can digitize your consciousness and like take the form of a mechanical body, it changes your limitations. Flying into space was incredible.
So when you were flying in space, your consciousness was pretty much the captain's seat. So you were on the bridge, you were the captain's seat. So when Heather would climb into you, is that considered sex? So again, throwing it back to the 90s, you're not aware of this because it happened afterwards, but the current president, Bill Clinton, in the United States, was he had to define some words, even the word the. So I'm giving it to you high level. When she climbed in you, what base was that for you?
You like know,
first base, second base.
When your body is constructed of like metal, that's not quite how sex works. However, Heather and I did have a position we called the captain's seat, and it can go both ways.
Oh, very nice.
She's a kinky girl.
I didn't know that pegging would factor into the equation, but here it is. Let's switch to you and your mentorship of Kara Kilgrave, who is the purple girl. So what was your philosophy in helping her out? Like her mother said, Madison, please take care of my daughter. And you said, sure. Tell me your philosophy of all of a sudden being sort of like a parent for a teenager on the team.
You know, Kara ultimately is a good kid. Look at what her powers could do. Look at her dad. She's learned. She was a teenager, but I'm happy to be associated with her. I think she has the true potential to be an incredible hero.
Let's talk a little bit about your time on the team and especially the romantic entanglements. What drove you away from Heather Hudson?
Have you met Heather Hudson? Heather, if you're listening, my word, she is a lot. And when you're working in close quarters, you kind of hook up with people and it turns serious for a minute and it was kind of fun. But, you know, after a while, you just want something a little more simple. And Lillian Crawley, who has the name of a great grandmother, is always right there.
She took very good care of you, apparently. My last question for you. What part of being merged with the box robot is the best?
The box robot, it's really fun to just stand on a street corner. People just think you're like a statue and then you move around just a little bit. That's my favorite part of it, I think. But I like being the national symbol of Alpha Flight and heroism across Canada. Perhaps the best known outside of the Guardian armor itself.
Yes, which you did fantastic work with that armor Thank you so much for your skills in constructing that, taking apart a sentient robot and then giving it to the woman you were interested in. Yeah. We have no questions specifically for you in the Q&A.
Everyone is going, who is Madison Jeffries?
they know you a bit better now, for better or worse. All right. Up next, we have Jean-Paul, Northstar. So we're going to dig into your origins and some key moments for you. And again, I do have some questions. They can be rather uncomfortable, but I really want to focus on your activism and things like that. So let's give some background to who you are and sort of what you did leading up to the present time when I kidnapped you from the time stream. So your parents died young, and I guess this sort of goes for you too, Aurora. My condolences for your parents.
We didn't know them.
Yes.
Yeah. Who did? Not even Loki did. So Jean-Paul, you went with your aunt and uncle, but then they died too. But don't worry, you had some great mentors, Raymond Belmond, perhaps some skiing instructors. You were able to eventually win Olympic gold through skiing. And then you pivoted to being a domestic terrorist. So that's sort of what led up to James McDonald Hudson recruiting you. And then you became basically the premier homosexual superhero of Canada. Name five others. One of your earliest battles that you and Aurora undertook was with Deadly Earnest, who unfortunately killed Raymond Belmond. Aurora, you were captured by Ernest, and then Northstar finds you safe, and then, you know, he sort of assumed that you slept your way to safety, and this really offended you. Frankly, sort of an asshole thing to assume. Sort of took offense because your sister wanted to separate herself from you. Your powers were so conjoined that she went to Walter Lankowski, also known as Sasquatch. We will ask questions about him too. You're not getting off the hook, Aurora. And this sort of created a back and forth with your sister where you didn't agree who she was hooking up with. She didn't agree with you being so judgy. But then you started turning a little bit ill, and it seemed to get progressively worse. A man named Pestilence, who is a very, very dead man underneath some ice, or nearly dead, then he touched you, and made you worse, like you were dying. And Aurora infused you with her light, to save you. Again, there's some back and forth with some light powers, and eventually you went with where you thought your mother was from, with the light elves. You went away with them, but it wasn't really the light elves. It was actually just some other shitty elves and trolls. Eventually you were rescued by the team. It was great of them to do that because you quit the team like half a dozen times. And now you basically came back, paid Aurora back, helped her out. You found a baby girl during a battle. She had AIDS. You adopted her. Her name was Joanne. And unfortunately, she passed away. And this allowed you and the team to talk publicly about HIV and AIDS and educate the public on the issue. And when she died, additionally, you came out as gay and used your platform to really advocate for gay rights and the further education for HIV and AIDS. So even though you are sort of a shitty person, you eventually redeemed yourself, which, you know, kudos.
Hostile questions.
we haven't even gotten to the questions. So first of all, if we can talk about the Front de Liberation de Quebec, what originally compelled you to join the FLQ in terms of seeking Quebec's independence?
Well, first of all, I was told that there would be no questions about this. So, liar. It was a political movement to ensure the independence of Quebec. And, you know, when people are young, they make mistakes. And that's not to say I don't believe in Quebec independence, but I disagree with their methods.
So you agreed with blowing up mailboxes, but perhaps not kidnapping government officials. Is that fair to say?
Am I on trial? I mean, what is this? This is coming off very hostile. And I would like to note the questions to Madison Jeffries were not this hostile. And I would also like to note that I am the most famous member of Alpha Flight, as I am the only one with an Olympic gold medal. Full stop.
Okay. Let's pivot to some less hostile questions. It seems like North Star maybe has taken some law classes. How did your experience with your elf illness, as we'll term it, because it's pretty amorphous, inform your response to the HIV and AIDS epidemic?
Well, 2 points. One, don't trust Loki. Shockingly, the god of lies. Number two, use a condom. I mean, that's good advice in general. Definitely it. I consider myself to be a very empathetic person, and I understood. I had a sense of some of the struggles that people were going through, whether it was elf cancer, thanks Jim Shooter, or other things.
Could you tell us in what ways did being an Olympic champion and superhero prepare you to go public with your sexuality?
I'm successful, attractive, wealthy, and if people had an issue with that, they could kiss my gold medal ass.
Fair. If you could go back and tell childhood Jean-Paul something, what would you tell him?
Don't trust the god of lies. Don't trust someone named Sasquatch. No, it's bad. Don't trust people from Manitoba in general.
Did you ever find yourself attracted to Sasquatch?
Too much hair.
What impact did Aurora's rejection of you based on your past with the FLQ and the resistance have on you?
I understand that, you know, my sister, she's not always entirely, you know, there. And, as I said before, I'm a very empathetic person, and I was the bigger man, and I didn't let it get to me, you know, because she has her own struggles, like being attracted to Walter Langowski, being attracted to some of Wolverine's disgusting spawn, many problems.
And then a final question for you. So what's the deal with you and Raymond Belmond?
This interview is over.
Oh wow. All right. Well,
beautiful gowns.
Wow. Switching off the cameras, North Star. We do have a question that came in for Madison Jeffries. So what is your favorite dad joke related to the box armor? This is from a viewer named Scott.
This is the pickup line I used on both Lil and Heather. Much like the box armor, I'm packing. What else would you do with a box? Best I could do, guys.
North Star, we have a question from Rage Gear Studios for you, and hopefully you consider it less hostile. I don't understand why you had an issue with my questions, but North Star, how did it feel to be Rogue's prom date in Asgard?
She is a very handsome woman, and sometimes you just have to you say bite the bullet and go along with it.
And you're one of the few who was really able to kiss her. How did that feel?
I mean, wasn't the worst thing I've kissed, but you know, it was the 80s. People were doing all sorts of things.
Experimentation was just all over the place. All right, and we do have to move on to Aurora. So a little bit of background. So after your parents died, you were sent to Madame de Pont's School for Girls in Laval, Quebec, by your relatives because they really didn't have the means to support you. So your mutant abilities manifested basically because of some abuse in a parochial school. And then when you shared your abilities, you were abused some more. So a really rough upbringing. Your abilities...
And yet somehow I don't remember.
Odd that you don't. There might be a psychological reason for that, which we are not here to adjudicate. We're here to really focus on your love life, because we know you love the men's. So...
It's in the genes.
Your abilities were first noted by Wolverine, and he sort of brought your presence to the attention of James McDonald Hudson, who recruited you for the team. You met your twin, and you discovered that together your abilities worked really well, but then the whole thing with Deadly Earnest and North Star insulting you, you separated those abilities. And you stuck around with the team longer than North Star did consistently. But unfortunately, the person who helped you sort of get your independent abilities, Sasquatch, he sort of died, but sort of didn't. And, you know, you were having some pretty hot, muscular sex with him.
That I do recall.
Yes, my condolences on your loss of Walter. But then you rebounded with Roger Box. He was there. So Roger was there for a while, but then his legs rotted away and you lost interest. Frankly, who can blame you? Then when your brother went away to what we thought was Light Elf Heaven, you went and sort of... joined a convent. Your memories were taken away and you joined a convent for a while. Don't worry, they came back. And then you helped out Wanda Lankowski, a very charitable act. Mm-hmm. And right around this time, we had more members in the mix and we had Wild Child come back. And, you know, he's looking fine and you were interested. And then after a while, you know, things just ran their course. They seem to run their course with men and you. And then you're the only one who I pulled out of the time stream where you sort of know everything. So you're with Akihiro now. And you found him on Krakoa. You saw him taking a soak and thought, I want me a piece of that. So that... pretty much brings us to the questions I have prepared, if you're ready, unless you want to say something.
No, I mean, not really. I mean, I will say, you know, a girl's got to eat. And sometimes when you're eating the same thing every day, you just want to try something new.
All right.
And this does seem to be confirmation that Aurora's into soaking.
I think I know what that means. And that sounds... boring, but also when you can move at the speed of light, even soaking causes friction.
So my first question for you, ma'am.
Oh yes.
What did you first think of Wolverine when you met him in a dark alley?
I mean, he was little. He was scruffy. He thought I was cute, so you know he was fine. Whatever.
You worked it to your advantage.
Yeah,
okay. So what initially attracted you to Walter Lankowski / Sasquatch?
I mean, his mind, he's so smart. He does science and math, but also is really hot. Tall, blonde, hot, and smart, the brains.
Okay, so the brains were the initial attraction along with his very broad back.
Maybe. Yes.
Okay. Could you describe what Roger Box meant to you and how he made you feel?
He made me feel pretty. He made me feel wanted. He was very good about making sure that I felt good, that I was the center of attention, that I was needed, wanted, and appreciated.
Why do you think Northstar works so hard to cock block you?
Because he was jealous, because he wanted all of the men that I already had.
So those were bad times with your brother. The good times with your brother. Have you ever been to a gay club with him?
I mean, does Krakoa count?
Yes.
I mean,
so okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't hit up like Studio 54 with him.
Oh no, that's way too much. Shall we say a snow in the air? No, thank you.
Okay.
I'm already fast enough.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how big of an impact did Wild Child's cosmetically altered appearance have on your desire to jump on those bones?
I mean, that was a 10. I mean, you guys saw him, right? Again, tall, blonde, abs for days. It was the 90s. It was all about the abs.
It was more than a 6-pack. It was more like a 10-pack.
There was like 10 or 12. I can't remember really counting them. Sorry, I was just thinking about, he is wild for sure.
And then we do have Leah joining us, so I just have a couple more questions for you, Aurora. First, what attracted you to Akahiro the most?
Tall, broad, that wild tattoo, and the abs. Okay. The abs. Also, feral. Like, there's something about, like, a bestial quality in a man.
All right. I think that answers one of the questions we actually got in the Q&A, which is, what is your favorite thing about Akihiro?
Yeah.
And then a final question from the audience for you. Could you please rank all your former partners? You don't have to talk about Akihiro right now, but, you know, the others.
Rank how?
Your time with them.
My time. However you want to time with them.
Yes, however you want to construe that.
Well, I mean, Wild Child was just mostly sex. So like there wasn't like good quality time. So he'll be like last. And then we'll do Roger. He was very sweet. He's very lovely. He was very attentive to me. And then Walter was great in bed.
I think you've gotten that across. So as we transition, I am magically sending all of our favorite characters away. Hey, everyone. So my internet connection got a little unstable when we were going to kick off to all of my fantastic guests plugging everything. So I wanted to come on here and plug everything for them, even some things that they might not have plugged. I don't know, because my connection dropped and I couldn't hear what they were saying. First up, we're going to cover Mr. Scott Free. He has a brand new podcast coming out called Clone Conspiracy, and it's discussing all of the clone Spider-Man stories, which is really exciting. You should go follow the Instagram account. It is at Clone Conspiracy, as the first episode is going to be dropping right around the first of the year. So you can get a reading guide and read along and be caught up to speed on some of the fantastic 1970s clone stories. Second, let's talk about Grey Malkin Lane. So Chad has been doing a deep dive into the Silver Age of X-Men. We all know that. And then in the past year has been doing a lot of the branching off stories where the X-Men were featured, but they weren't in any titles. It's all going to change in the new year when Chad goes into his new era, starting with, of course, Giant Size X-Men number one. So we are getting the lineup that a lot of us are familiar with, and we're starting that Claremont run. It's going to be so good. So be sure to follow him over at graymalkin_lane on Instagram so you can see when each new episode is dropping. It's really exciting. I'm so pumped for Chad and, of course, his fantastic array of guests, including Scott and Amanda and Leah. I'm sure that they'll be featured even more going forward as we're entering a new exciting era for him. And of course, the fantastic Amanda Martini. I mean, she turned it out for this event. You couldn't really see it because, you know, you're listening right now. But Amanda went full drag for this as Aurora. And we have an exclusive shirt that has dropped. It is Amanda as Aurora saying a girl's got to eat with a bunch of her paramour surrounding her. She and I actually worked with Surge Towers to get this designed. It's a fantastic design. And the one that is branded as Alpha Flight is only up until January 31st. So go over to Amanda Martini's socials. It is always at Amanda Martini, D-M-A-N-D-A Martini. You can find her on Instagram, on Blue Sky, on Facebook, and then get to that Redbubble shop to get this shirt because it is only around for a little over a month, and then it's gone forever. So I really, really thank all three of those guests for appearing on this audio episode. My love and appreciation and thanks to Leah Williams for joining us afterwards. And if you want to experience, you know, some close encounters of the creator kind, make sure you follow the Uncanny Experience. The tickets are going on sale. We're having a pre-sale starting after the first of the year. So make sure you get your tickets. We really want to see you. And then you can interact with creators just like Leah, up close, personal, ask them any questions that you want, really get to pick their brains and show your fandom to them too. It's a great event, and I hope you all consider joining us in Minneapolis this July. It's going to be here before you know it. So thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you next time.